today on Real Radio.
You and I are not going to make it far in this spiritual challenge of ours in this life without our feet wrapped with the gospel. Church, do everything within your power to wrap your feet in the gospel of God, and He will bless you.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Give Me Liberty, Part 1, continues now in a series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. We'll be covering Galatians chapter 5 with verses 1 through 12 today. We cannot be saved from our sins just by being good or by obeying the law. We can only be saved by believing in Jesus Christ and only in Him. In Galatians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul continues his passionate desire for us to stand in the liberty by which Christ has set us free. Paul also pleads with us not to go backwards into the bondage of a works-based gospel, but to persevere and press forward. The human heart, it cries out for freedom. And you know those famous words from our forefather Patrick Henry, "Give me liberty or give me death." And the truth is, our only true freedom comes from Christ. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that until we are liberated, we are dead in our sins and dead in legalism. There is no real life without our freedom in Christ. We can go through the motions of life without really living, but the believer's desire is to always move forward. And now in his lesson called Give Me Liberty, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
It is either a works relationship with God and you're going around to try to establish your own righteousness, that you're trying to impress God with all of your good deeds, as Paul's been teaching us that the legalist will do, or you come in absolute desperation before God and you say, God, I can't save myself. Even if I had $29 million, I can't save myself. God, I can't become pure because I am impure in thought or and in deed. And God, I need you. And all the money in the world will not change that. Legalism, liberty. For you and your Christian walk this morning, you fall into one of those two camps. Are you advancing in the liberty that Jesus Christ has set you free in? Or are you a believer in God? You even love the Lord Jesus, but you have been ensconced or wrapped with this sense of legalism. That if you just do what the church asks you to do, then you're going to be fine with God. You know that's a danger. If I just sign up or be this way or do this thing. I was reading a commentary this weekend, 300 years old. 300 years old, and this commentator stated the very thing I just said right now. You think that's a new thought? Oh, that's an ancient thought. It's a biblical thought. And this ancient old commentator of yesteryear said, it is anathema to God that we would approach Him and say, look, God, for all the righteous things I have done, be Thou impressed. Oh, look, God, for all the long hours I have painstakingly put into prayer, be Thou impressed. He said, if I put one thing of good effort in my life and expect God to be influenced by that, he says, I have fallen from grace. Galatians chapter 5, Paul's passion continues. He says to the Galatian churches, stand fast, verse 1, therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised, that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from Him who calls you. That's God. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even themselves be cut off. Do you hear Paul's passion continuing? Oh, he's excited. Just wait till we get into this to see how excited he is and some of the words he uses. Wow, Paul gets rather graphic about, you want to be legalistic? All right then, you want to talk about circumcision and keeping the law of God? Okay, boys, bring out the chainsaw because we are going to be legalistic all the way. You think you can keep the standard of God on your own? Then bring out the Ten Commandments. No, bring out the 613 commandments of the entire Old Testament scripture. Bring out all of the laws and regulations of yesteryear religion that churches have established around the world. Bring them all out. You want to keep the law, he's saying, churches of Galatia? You want to denounce the grace of God and embrace human performance? Then bring out the chainsaw. Call up the surgeons. Jack, are you kidding? I'm not kidding. It's too early to be kidding. And this is too holy of a thing to talk about in a joking manner. Number one, jot it down if you're taking notes. Number one thing about give me liberty or give me death. Number one is found in verse one, and that is life demands freedom. Friend, that's true in spiritual circles, and it's true in just biology. Life demands freedom. Did you know that you don't even have to get religious about matters? You don't even have to get spiritual about matters. That the very existence of biological life, it will traffic, it will fight, it will devise a plan, as it were, for life and freedom. The very life that God has given in this world to observe demands freedom. And so we see here in verse 1, he says, stand fast, strong military term, therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not, or no longer, the word in Greek is stop it. Stop being entangled again in a yoke of bondage. The first thing we want to see under this point that life demands freedom is this, that we believers, Christians, are determined to go forward. Christian, will you jot that down? I don't know if you realize it or not, but you need to realize this, that your life, now that you're a Christian, has got a holy unction, is a good old English word. There is a divine propulsion system inside you. It is the Holy Spirit. Since you become a Christian, you want to progress onward with God. Listen, even though you've come to Jesus, have you noticed something? You've come to Jesus and you're saved, you're going to heaven. You are completely satisfied, yet at the same time, are you not still hungering for more of Him? Isn't that a strange thing? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Nod your head if you do. Please, help me get through this morning. I've only had one cup of coffee. But when Jesus Christ came in my life, I felt an urge, an unction to go on with God and to find out more about Him, and yet I had Him in my heart. The moment I got saved, I felt absolutely complete in the Lord. I felt rescued. I felt forgiven. I knew that God's word was true and that I was excited about that fact. But at the same time, there was this thing that began in my life to hunger and thirst after Him more. And you know what I'm talking about. You want more of Him. That's why when you talk to a new believer, they'll say, I've got Jesus in my heart. And they'll go to every Bible study every day of the week. Why? Because they want more of Him. Life demands freedom. And that new life in Christ cries out for more and more freedom. Christian, you know the answer, that more and more freedom is found as you indulge yourself in God. Isn't that amazing? Oh, you silly Christian studying the Bible. There he goes again, off to Bible study. If they only understood that we were set free by learning more of God and His nature in the Word of God. Life demands freedom. How so? We are determined to go forward. When Paul says here, stand fast, therefore, the word stand fast in the Greek means fix your feet firm. It means to fix your feet firm, to be stationary with the intent to persevere. I love that. Anybody play football in here? Or maybe you're going to dig into a batter's stance at softball or baseball. You dig in because you're intending to be fixed so that you can swing or that you can execute whatever play or whatever is called upon you to do. Your feet are fixed firm. The Christian is to have his feet firm, not in the world. In fact, that's what the Lord's trying to pluck us out of in all these days of our lives, the things that have happened in our lives. God wants to pluck us out of that world, but he wants to fix us firm upon the truth of God. Christian, in these last days that the church is in right now, you and I will not survive unless our feet are fixed firm on God. You are going to get bowled over to a broken marriage, a broken family, to whatever's going around, false doctrine, crises, natural events, spiritual attack. You're just going to fall over. You remember those things, Weebles? Anybody remember Weeble? Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. And I used to just dink them. You know what dinking? Dinking is you put your index finger behind your thumb, and then you build up pressure, and then you go, bing, and they just go, brrr. They had a round bottom on them. You can spin them and throw them around on smooth surfaces. There's nothing fixed about them. A lot of Christians are like that. Their feet are not firm. And somebody says, oh, did you hear this? That Jesus landed in a spaceship in Glendale. He did? And it's like, oy vey. No. The Bible says every eye will see him when he returns. Oh, get your feet fixed. Know the word of God. Stand therefore. Be firm. Do you know how to respond when the world throws its next curveball in your life, in my life? If you're firmly rooted in the Word of God and your feet are sure, you're advancing forward spiritually, you'll know how to respond. I could stay on this next topic forever here. And that is, the world is just knocking the church over right now. Because Christians, they don't know what to stand for. And even if they do, they're too weak to stand up for it. Something inside them tells them that they should stand, but they don't want to stand because they're afraid that their identity is in this world, that the world is going to say to us, silly person, Jesus freak, goofy, droopy, snoopy, whatever. They'll attack us. And we go, oh, no, we can't have that happen. Wouldn't you rather be a friend of God than a friend of the world? Stand firm. Be strong. He says, fix your feet firmly. Ephesians 6, verse 14 says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That is, have your feet wrapped with the ability, the truth, the foundation of the Word of God. Know the Word. Give it. Mark chapter 6, verse 7, Jesus said in that scripture where he called the 12 disciples to himself, he began to send them out two by two, says the Bible, and he gave them power over demonic spirits. And he commanded them to take nothing for their journey. Listen to this. Except a staff. That doesn't mean a lot of people behind them to prop them up. No bag. No bread, no copper in their money belts, but to only wear their sandals and to go forward. Isn't that interesting? Don't worry about anything else, but in a symbolic sense, you know, make sure you got shoes on. Why? You're not going to make it far in Israel without shoes on. You're not going to make it far today with the heat outside on the cement or asphalt without shoes on. And so you and I are not going to make it far in this spiritual challenge of ours in this life without our feet wrapped with the gospel. Church, do everything within your power to wrap your feet in the gospel of God, and he will bless you. He will bless this church. He will bless our lives. We are determined to move forward. We're determined to go forward. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. You know this verse by now very well. He says, brethren, I do not count myself as apprehended that which I've been apprehended for. In other words, that's Paul's way of saying, the reason why Christ captured me and brought me into the kingdom, that very reason why he captured me and brought me into his kingdom, I have not fulfilled all that God has given me to do yet. But this one thing I do, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We are determined to go forward. Class, are we determined to go forward? Yes. You and I live at a very, very tragic moment of human history regarding the church. In the world, the church has given up. I'm so depressed right now. Can't you tell I am so depressed? No, I was depressed until I read the Bible, then it picks me up. But this week I was reading things about church statistics around the world. Did you know there's a massive apostasy taking place around the world? Apostasy, let me explain it. People say they know God, they've got a Bible in one hand, they've got a Quran in the other hand, they've got the Tibetan Book of the Dead in their back pocket, they've got the Book of Mormon in their front pocket, they've got the Watchtower and Bible Tract Society pamphlet in the other pocket, they've got everything on them, and they call themselves religious, and they're very religious, and they're very sincere. And they're trying to sample, in a pantheistic manner, everything they can from each little thing that's going to kind of cover other bases, and they're going to move forward. And the Bible says it's apostasy. Apostasy. To begin on a path, but to denounce and go back into another or onto another roadway or pathway. Apostasy. And yet I was encouraged because that's the age that you and I are living in, which the Bible says is the age that just precedes the return of Jesus Christ. The age of apostasy. Another thing that we see here in this wonderful verse 1, is that we're not only determined to go forward as believers, but we learn this about our liberty in Christ, is that we're strengthened by God. He says that we are to stand, therefore, in the liberty. Can you circle that word liberty? In the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Now, listen, Christian, are you free this morning? Really? Are you really free? I'm not talking about positionally. If you're a Christian, I know that's true. But do you live the freedom life? Don't raise your hand. But if I were to ask you this morning, are you a Christian? Your hand would probably go up. Then the next logical thing for me to ask in relation to our study is, then you must be free. And you would pause for a moment because now you're wondering, well, what does that freedom mean? Freedom, the Christian freedom that he enjoys, should be synonymous and equal to the Christian testimony of what God has done in our lives. I am free because what? Christ has done this in my life. Free from what? People will say, Jesus is my Savior. Savior from what? Oh, I don't know. I just heard him talk about Jesus being my Savior. You can't have that kind of a Savior unless you know what he's saving you from. Oh, he's my Lord. Lord of what? What? Don't get technical on me. Lord of what? True liberty is Jesus Christ being the Lord of your life. Listen, it means through the Word of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he is leading you in this world. The direction you and I go, we pray, he gives us the direction, we go. Pastor Jack, what about when he doesn't give us a direction? Either sit still or go and he'll bless you. But what if I've got two doors in front of me and I don't know which one to take? I've prayed. I love God. I'm in the Word of God. I'm praying. And I got to go. I got to go by Monday at 8 o'clock. What should I do? Are you ready for this, Christian? Hang on to your seat. Go. Okay, I got that part down. Right or left? Go. This is where I think we are stranded so often. God, do I do this ministry or do I do that ministry? Do I just do this one or I just do that one? And you know what? You'll ask that question for 2, 3, 4, 15, 25, 30 years. Do I go that way or that way? Will you just get up and go? God will lead us. We are strengthened by God by the liberty that he gives us. We make this Christian walk so complicated. God, if you're in this, just have an airplane fly across the sky right now. Ride it. Ride it in the sky. And God, if you're in it, and then, you know, God may even have that happen. Gideon did this. I love Gideon because he just wanted to do the right thing. Okay, I see that airplane, but that could have been in, I don't know. God, if you're in it, just don't have the sun come up today. And the sun doesn't come up for some weird reason or whatever. You say, could this be the Lord? Do you know him? Do you trust him? Then get up and walk with him. Be firm in that liberty. Here's what the word liberty means. To be unfettered. Oh, you need to write that down. I needed to write that down in preparing this. Unfettered from what? From fear? Are you fearful? Well, let me bring it home. Can you fly on an airplane fine now since September 11th, or does that bother you? I'm afraid now. So you're fearful. Is it Again, decision making. Is it relationships? Is it name it? Is it standing in front of people speaking publicly? These things are not going to go away, these fears. By God, in His liberty, we conquer them. How do we do that? You know what? You stand firm in the liberty where it's Christ that sets you free. You face the enemy, whatever it might be. And in the Lord, you say, Lord, I'm going to stand firm in the liberty by which you've set me free. And I'm going to go forward in this matter. I'll give you one personally right now. I don't eat anymore. At least I try not to after 6 o'clock in the evening. It drives me crazy. You're looking at a guy who used to get up at 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning just to eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and go back to bed. I'm losing weight, but it's killing me. I'm certain I'm fighting against the blessings of God. I think He wants me overweight. I think that's the blessings of God. Anybody can have just one chin. How about two or three? How many chins do you have? I've got 3. That's a good thing, it seems to me. I don't know. So I've been trying to diet that way, and then I get up in the morning now, and I've shrunk my tummy down this way. I get up in the morning, and I don't eat till noon. Now, look, you know what? Don't write me with your diet thing. I've got them all. You guys are wonderful. I've got so many diets, I'm confused. Pastor, try this one. No, listen. So I get up, and then I have a salad, and then I eat fruit all day long, and then I have like a piece of fish, you know, and it's like, it's killing me. And then the Lord laid this verse on me. Hey, Jack, why don't you stand firm in the liberty by which I set you free? Jack. Yes, Lord. Are you living to eat? I think so. Or are you eating to live? Oh, Lord, I'd rather just eat to live rather than live to eat. For years, we've prayed that God would bring an In-N-Out burger to our area. It's not a joke. And so now they're building one right across the street from the church. And I don't have the liberty to go there. Now that's my personal application of the meaning of this text. But the Lord says, you know, stand firm in me. Give me your hunger. For me, right now, give me your hunger. Give me your hunger pain. Lord, please. Whatever it is in your life. Lord, my fear. God says, give me your fear. Stand firm in the liberty by which I've set you free. Yes, we'll get to this. Yes, He set us free from sin and the power of sin. But this liberty applies to everything. What fetters you? What chains you down? What bars you from enjoying the fullness of God? Whatever it is, we need to stand over it in the liberty by which Christ has set us free.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Give Me Liberty, Part 1. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that you have true liberty in Christ, and that you're standing firm on the promises of God's Word. Give Me Liberty, Part 1. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. It's a series that brings God's gospel of grace to light in a world that preaches a very different gospel. That being one of works and traditions of the past. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, here's an idea for Valentine's Day. We'd like to tell you about a resource that we think you're really going to like. It's the Real Marriage DVD set. It's a collection of discussion-based programs to help provide a solid foundation for a happy and God-honoring marriage. All led by our very own Pastor Jack and his wife, Lisa, Real Marriage brings you an honest, biblically-based conversation on the issues that married couples deal with on a daily basis. This DVD set is amazing for any married couple. So to celebrate Valentine's Day, we want to offer you the Real Marriage DVD set for your gift of any amount to this ministry. Just go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org and get your copy of the Real Marriage DVD set. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.